Yesterday's gospel focused on the topic of marriage. Today's gospel, the very next passage in Matthew chapter 19, focuses on children. Now, whether that was simply the way it unfolded in the public ministry of Jesus historically, or whether St. Matthew, the evangelist, put those two passages together when he compiled the gospel, I don't know. But the liturgy respects the order, and it makes perfect sense to us because marriage leads to children. So talk about marriage, talk about children. They go together. We had a little rhyme that we used to sing when we were children. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. Well, that's the normal order of things. Everybody knows that, although it doesn't always follow that order, but that's how it goes. So yesterday, we focused on marriage, and Jesus had to address the contrast between the human approach to marriage, which would open the door to divorce, and God's idea of marriage, which does not allow divorce. We see a similar contrast in today's reading. The human approach to children is to get rid of them sometimes, and God's approach to children is to let the children come, to welcome the children, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Well, reflecting on this contrast between how the disciples reacted to the children and how Jesus reacted to them, how the contrast between the anti-child mentality and the pro-child mentality brings to my mind my experience of administering the sacrament of baptism. Sometimes the parish will ask me to do the baptisms. In fact, later this morning, in a couple of hours, I'll be there to administer baptisms. And it's always an interesting experience because, you know, once you get a lot of children together, you can't predict what's going to happen. And the more there are, the more chaotic it can get. So if there's only a few children and they're asleep or they're happy and everybody's smiling at them, well, it's a very peaceful kind of orderly ceremony. But very often, if there's more than 10 children, for example, somebody's crying and somebody needs a diaper changed and somebody's hungry and some grandmother wants to have her picture taken with the baby, and everyone wants to hold this baby, and then the ninongs and the ninangs get together and they're chatting away, and it's a family reunion for some families, and for other families nobody shows up, and it's just one chaotic scene. And in the midst of it, the priest walks in and starts this sacramental ceremony, and of course the babies don't know they don't know what's going on. And a lot of the adults don't know what's going on either. But that's it. God's grace floods the moment, no matter how chaotic it might be. In fact, the gospel reading for the liturgy of baptism is this one. Let the children come to me. Oh, I think it's St. Mark's version, but it's the same idea. The disciples wanting the children to be taken away, dismiss them, get rid of them, don't bother the Lord, and Jesus countering that mentality and saying, no, let the children come to me. So, what's the contrast between the human response and the divine response? The human response, our natural response, is to accept people only when they fit the category we have in mind for them. We apply it to children, but we apply it to everybody. People should be a certain way, and if they're not, well, we don't want them around. Children should be well-behaved. They should be innocent, angelic, beautiful, clean, and quiet, and that's beautiful. And when they're not, well, you know, take them away. If they're going to cry or going to stink or they're going to make a commotion, well, then better dismiss them. In fact, tragically, in our times, the anti-child mentality goes to the extreme of saying there should not be so many children. They should not be. People shouldn't even have children. It's bad for the environment. It stresses the resources of the planet, as if children were the enemy of our future. Exactly the opposite of the truth, that children are the future. Okay, so that's the anti-child mentality. But the divine mentality is welcome. Welcome children as they are. Open to children who are smiling, children who are sleeping, children who are crying. And start with that. Start with the reality of who a person is. Now, I'm expanding on this a little bit as a lesson to us, that when we relate to people, we have to start with who they are. Start with the reality of their situation, whether they're happy or sad, whether they're rich or poor, whether they like you or don't like you. Start with the reality. Don't start with a prejudice or a box, an expectation. Because what happens is, if we have too narrow a vision of who a person is, when the person doesn't fit in, then we reject him or her, and that's a violation of the law of love. Today's saints are an instruction in this, the difference between welcoming and rejecting, the importance of starting with where a person is and then journeying with him or her toward the Lord. Today's saints are the Pope Pontian and the priest Hippolytus, who were opponents. They were ideological enemies. Well, Pontian maybe is not such an interesting figure. He was Pope for 5 years, as I said, and this was during the time, one of the waves of persecution under the Roman Empire. The Emperor Maximus at that time decided to get rid of the Christians. We've heard this story before, but just a few days ago when we celebrated the Feast of St. Lawrence, it was was it Valerian, I think, the emperor who, that was about 20 years later, so that was in the middle of the 3rd century. We go back to 235, and the Emperor Maximus says, I'm getting rid of all these Christians, I'm going to either kill them or send them into exile. So Pontian was the Pope, and he got sent into exile, and knowing that he was absent from the leadership of the church, and knowing that he was probably going to be martyred, he decided to resign the papacy so that someone else could take charge. The more interesting figure is Hippolytus, who was a brilliant man, a brilliant theologian and author, a man who had a lot to say, but who was a rigorist. He was an ultra-conservative. And he did not agree with how the popes were doing things. At one point, a few popes before Pontian, the pope made a declaration of leniency toward a certain policy, and Hippolytus could not tolerate it. He said, that should not be. And his followers said, you're right, Hippolytus, that should not be. We'll make you the pope. So they elected him as a fake pope. Anti-pope is the term. He was an anti-pope. And he was an anti-pope for 18 years. He stood against 3 or 4 popes, real ones. He's a fake one. And his position was, I'm right, and the popes are wrong. I'm right, the church is wrong. I'm holier than the church. I have the pure understanding of the faith and how it should be lived. That's why I say he's like the ultra-conservative. He's right, and the Pope's wrong. If you want to think of modern examples of this, Pope Francis is something like the Pope Pontian, and the Hippolytus figure of our times is probably something like Archbishop Vigano. I don't know if you know Archbishop Vigano. He's the most outspoken critic of Pope Francis these days. A few years ago, maybe, was it 4 or 5 years ago, he made a public letter demanding that the Pope resign. That was in the news back then. He's kind of faded away now, but He demanded that the Pope resign because he's doing everything wrong. Well, that's the Hippolytus position, and Archbishop Vigano keeps saying things like this. He's, whatever the Pope does, whatever Pope Francis does, Archbishop Vigano has a very strong negative reaction to it. Now, why do I bring them up? Because this gospel is telling us, welcome the children, and it's to the children that the kingdom of heaven belongs. So whenever anybody is stuck in a self-righteousness or in a narrowness or a rigidity, they're not like children. They're not accepting the reality of the way people are and the way God's plan unfolds in the chaos of the human family. That's the problem. Now, in the case of Pontian and Hippolytus, since they were both exiled, they had a common enemy, that was the Roman emperor, they both saw the need to let go, to allow God's plan to unfold. And Hippolytus, as he reached the end of his life, reconciled with the church, reconciled with Pontian, and he was martyred for the faith, and we honor him as a saint. So even though during his prime he was a difficult person to get along with, his heart was still true. His heart was still open to God's grace, and when the time came, he yielded to God. He became childlike at the end. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are childlike, those who accept. Now, it doesn't mean, acceptance does not mean tolerance of everything. It doesn't mean saying that bad is good. And we know this when we're dealing with children. When children misbehave, we correct them. It's not right to tolerate or accept misbehavior of children. It's not good for them. It's not good for us either. So we correct children, but we don't reject children. So to be childlike does not mean to be passive or to be ignorant or to be tolerant of evil or to be indifferent to what's going on. No. It means welcoming the truth, welcoming the reality, welcoming the goodness of each person, standing in humility so that God's plan can unfold. So we learn this from children because they are who they are. They don't have any hypocrisy, they don't have any facades, they just are who they are. When they're happy, they laugh. When they're sad, they cry, and it's easy to know what they're thinking. Children. But we also learn childlikeness from Saint Pontian, who accepted his exile and martyrdom, resigned the papacy, and let God be in charge of the church. We learn also from Saint Hippolytus, who tried as hard as he could to be holy and realized he can't make himself holier than the church. He realized it's time for me to accept God's plan and to offer my life, to lay down my life for the faith. A challenging message to us. It's challenging to be children. It's challenging to welcome children. But this is the plan of God. So let us not cling to our natural reactions or our prejudices. Let us humble ourselves and accept the plan of God and the people of God.